From atheist to founder of the largest Catholic app in human history, it's so big it's actually competing some months with Instagram. What? We're gonna dive into the amazing faith story of Alex Jones, but also the amazing business story and how God showed up in the building of that business, which will give you great insights for building anything of meaning in your life. Also, some fun stories about what it's like to hang out with famous Catholics, not like preacher guys, but more like Gwen Stefani, Mark Wahlberg types. A lot of fun stuff. A lot of meaningful stuff in the show. So excited to dive in today on The Chris Stefanik Show. Welcome to The Chris Stefanik Show. We are here every week to give you the tools and inspiration you need to live your everyday life with joy because we love you. Missionaries of Joy, I want to thank you. You're the ones that make all this work possible. If you've been inspired by our work, get off the sidelines, jump in, click below this video, become a missionary of joy. Do it today. If you want daily inspiration, click below this video, sign up for the Daily Anchor. No strings attached. Join our family of people that just get our inspiration every day and then go and share inspiration and the love of Jesus with the world. This episode is sponsored in part by EWTN. You can catch this and so much more on EWTN Plus streaming. Link is in the show notes. Let's dive in. Alex, brother.
This will be fun, man.
I'm so blessed to have you here, brother. Seriously.
Yeah,
I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
This will be a blast.
I'm grateful.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Okay, I want to talk about Jesus, and I want to talk about business, because you're going to have a lot to say about both. I mean, you started one of the most successful apps in human history.
Glory to the Lord.
Right? And I'm not saying like one of the most successful religious apps. One of the most successful apps, hard stop. There's been months where you've given Instagram a run for their money. Which is crazy.
It is crazy.
You did not see that coming.
No.
Nobody saw that coming.
If you told me like 1,000 people would have used this thing, I would have told you you were crazy. So
it's insane.
Plus, like, there was the year when we beat, well, no faith-based app, no religious app, or wellness app or meditation app had ever cracked the top 10 in the Apple App Store, and each of the last 3 years we've been top 3. And like all the other top 10 apps have like 10,000 plus employees, and we obviously have like a very small fraction of that. So it's just, I don't know, it's just God showing off though. It's so clear, like we try to do things and then we just get, like every good thing at Halo has been us trying to do something and like grasping it real tight and then just being like, all right, God, I can't do it. And then he's just like, boom, that's what I was waiting for. And so it's just, yeah, it's just him showing off. So it's been fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to start though with your own personal story.
Yeah.
You went from atheist to guy who was, you know, the founder, co-founder of the Catholic prayer app.
Loving Jesus, yeah.
Yeah. What happened?
Jesus, I guess. I was raised Catholic by my saint of a mother, which she told me I wasn't supposed to call her saint of a mother anymore, and I said that's exactly what a saint would say. But
it's like when Jesus said, hey, I just healed you of leprosy, don't tell anyone. It's like, yeah, I'm so
exactly.
Sure that
yeah,
we're not
like,
going to talk about
I can call you whatever
that.
I want, Mom.
So Saint Alex's mom, pray for us. I know you're watching. Sorry, go ahead.
She's alive. But yeah, she's just an incredible woman of faith, dragged us through the sacraments. But when I was in high school and college, fell away from my faith, would have called myself, I probably mostly would have called myself agnostic, but had you pushed me, I would have said, I don't believe there's a God, which is heartbreaking. I don't know what that was. It's just like the scientism of like just the new atheism, just the normal. It's just everybody I was around.
Just YouTube rabbit holes or
yeah,
people
not really.
In
it was just like my friends. It's like public school. Yeah, college to an extent. I went to Notre Dame, so like the Catholic faith was always still a part of my life. Like it was always kind of under the surface. But I just, yeah, especially high school, I guess. It was just all my friends and whatever I was reading, Dawkins and Harris and whatever. It's just like, yeah, no, this is the dumb thing that our parents did.
Wow.
But I graduated and I got really into meditation. And my mind first went to, unfortunately not St. Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, but to like secular meditation. And most of secular meditation is just forms of Eastern meditation. But I was about to go to India for a couple weeks to try to learn how to meditate. And then Headspace and I found these apps, Headspace and Calm, which is just launched. They're these secular meditation apps that like walk you through these techniques of meditation. And the flight to India was like $2,000 and the apps were like $60, $70. So I was like, okay, we'll stick with the apps for now. And I loved them. I thought they were awesome. They were like this, I don't know, they're just audio-guided meditation sessions. You pick something, press play, plug in your headphones. It was almost like technology without technology. It's like I close my eyes and I feel like I'm in a retreat, like I'm being led by these people who are world experts in this thing, just in the comfort of my own home for 10 minutes. I don't have to go anywhere, and it makes it really easy to build this habit. And so I liked the actual tool itself, but I realized this, it was really the first time that I'd ever actually sat in silence. And the weirdest thing, like I spent my whole life just scrolling or Netflix or worried about work or thinking about like things I'm supposed to solve, and it was like just sitting in silence. And the weirdest thing started happening to me, which is my mind kept feeling this weird pull towards something spiritual, like the name Jesus or an image of the cross or the words Holy Spirit. And I thought that was very strange. I know, so do I. And I was like, wow, this is really weird. And so I went to Notre Dame, so I started calling some priests from Notre Dame or friends who took their faith more seriously than I did. And I was asking what I thought was this really interesting question, which is, hey, is there any way there's some sort of intersection here between this meditation thing and this Jesus thing? And they all laughed at me. And they were like, yeah, we've been doing it for like well over 2,000 years. You probably should have heard about it. And I was like, and they were like, it's called prayer. And I said, no, I know prayer. Prayer is the like, hey, thanks for stuff, sorry for stuff, help me with stuff, or the things that I memorized as a kid. But it's, and I had this one priest who, I think I had just gotten married, and he said, okay, imagine you came home every day to your wife and you said, hey, honey, I'm thankful for these things, I'm sorry for these things, could you help me with these things, good night? Wow. How healthy would your relationship be?
Wow.
And I was like, it wouldn't be very healthy at all. And he was like, why? And I was like, well, I spend most of my relationship listening, like most of my time talking to my wife, I spend listening. And he goes, okay, how much more would you want to listen if instead of talking to your wife, you were talking to the creator of the universe who knew the perfect good that he wanted for you in each moment, in every moment of your life? And I was like, okay. But like, you don't text the guy, you don't call the guy, like what,
yeah.
You know? And I started learning about this whole world of contemplative and meditative prayer within the church. Lexia Divina, Ignatian spirituality, the examine, imaginative prayer, Carmelite spirituality, prayer recollection, prayer of the quiet, like a ton of stuff that I just never heard of before. And the one that came up probably the most, although there's a bunch, is Lexia Divina. And so I Googled how to do it, sat down, randomly opened up a Bible to Luke 11, where the disciples, funnily enough, ask Jesus to teach them how to pray, and he gives them the Our Father. And in Lexia Divina, you pick a word that sticks out to you and you meditate on it to start it, usually. And then use that to start a conversation with God. And the word that stuck out to me was hallow, and hallowed be thy name. And it was like 10 minutes just in the comfort of my little studio apartment, but it just radically, it just changed everything, changed my life. It brought me back to my faith. It brought me into a relationship with the Lord. It was the most important thing in my life from that moment on. I discovered the Mass and the beauty of all the sacraments, confession, and the beauty of the Catholic Church and Mary and the saints and everything. And it's like any real prayer experience, it's really, really hard to put into words, but it was just this beautiful combination of this deep sense of peace, like deeper than anything I'd experienced in secular meditation or working out or anything, combined with this depth of meaning and purpose. So hallow means to make holy. So I was like, well, is God trying to make me holy? Am I letting him make me holy? Am I supposed to be helping other people grow in holiness? And the answer to all of that was no. Like I was just doing my own career, trying to get the next most prestigious job, trying to get whatever, literally just the ways of the world. I was just trying to follow the ways of the world as best as I could.
Hey friend, I want to invite you into something that's changing lives every single day. People all over the world are rediscovering their faith, finding real joy, and learning how to share the gospel with confidence. And guess what? These lives are forever being transformed because of our Missionaries of Joy, our incredible monthly supporters. Everything we do, The Chris Stefanik Show, life-changing video series like Living Joy, Rise, Fearless, and Renewed, our live events, it all exists because of them. And I want to invite you to become part of this movement. When you become a Missionary of Joy, you're not just donating. You're stepping into a mission that equips, inspires, and empowers you to live the gospel in your everyday life and to help others do the same. And that's not all. As a Missionary of Joy, you get exclusive access to all our video series, and empowerment to share them in small groups with friends. You get exclusive early access to new releases. You get Monday motivation texts direct from me. And you get access to our daily anchor, daily inspiration to fuel your faith. Here's the truth. The world is desperate for joy. People are dying for meaning. And together, we could bring them the hope of Jesus. The question isn't if you can make a difference. It's will you? Click the link below. Join the mission today.
I had quit my job at 26, drained my 401k, took the 30, 40% penalty, whatever they give you for that. Did the startup that was like 98, 99% chance gonna fail, moved across the country with my new wife and family. And like everything, it was big, stressful life questions, because I mean, you're hit with this moment of like, I'm doing everything wrong. And, but wrestling with it in this place of deep peace. So like these real difficult questions, but in this place of peace.
Prayer changed you.
Yeah, for sure. And so I knew I needed to do that for the rest of my life. It's a very obvious idea. Like, I've been using the apps. I like these apps.
Yeah.
And, you know, this, I couldn't find anything like this that walked me through what I had discovered.
My mouth's kind of agape hearing your conversion story, because the progression most people would take would be, I go from being convinced my mom, who's a saint, St. Alex, mom, pray for us.
She's gonna get so mad. Oh, that's so fun.
I go from that to atheism to, okay, someone convinces me this is right. Okay, I'll try prayer.
Yeah.
You were an atheist who prayed. I mean, you kind of bypassed a lot of the processes, and you went from this unbelief, to wanting to meditate and trying Catholic meditation.
Yeah.
What would drive an unbelieving person to want to try spiritual things at all?
I don't know. I think we actually have, and it's, I think, real. I think it is the real reason behind any success Hallow has had. It's like, we as a church, I do actually think we do a pretty good job of, especially over the last 20, 30 years, you do a lot of great work on this. Father Mike, Bishop Barron, Fred, a handful of folks do incredible work on this, but of like preaching the truth of the faith and, like, it's not just the dumb, hey, there's an old guy up in the sky that judges whether you're right and wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, no, there's this real depth of philosophy and theology and, like, people way smarter than you who have thought through this at a way deeper level than you ever have. And we do a great job also, I think, of leading with beauty. You see that in music that reaches a lot of people. I don't know, for Hallow, what we do, though, is I think we have an opportunity as a church to lead with the peace that Christ offers, especially now, like especially young people. My little sister is a good bit younger than me. I hold her phone for like 3 minutes and I'm just immediately, my heart is racing faster, I'm stressed. And it's because she got like 50 Snapchat notifications, you got 35 comments on TikTok and they're all buzzing the phone.
I feel the anxiety.
Yeah, it's like, and it's on your phone and you're just like, I can't. And you have to keep all these streaks alive for Snapchat, whatever it is.
Oh, it drives me
nuts. It's like people are so hungry for that real peace. And for me, it was like this fascination with what is offered in the contemplative life, which I think is St. John on the Cross. Oh, souls created for such grandeur. What are you doing? How are you spending your time? It's like this, like you are offered this, the kingdom of heaven, a little slice of it on earth if you enter into prayer, if you enter into silence. And like, there is a fascination with that. Even when, I think things are starting to change now, but you look at the, they used to do this Pew study of like, are you religious or spiritual but not religious or atheist or agnostic? And the percent religious had declined like 10 points, from like 65% to 55%, which was radical.
Yeah.
But it wasn't replaced at all by atheism and agnosticism. It was replaced by whatever a spiritual but not religious is, which was a new category of the last whatever, 10, 20 years. But like, there's two ways to go about that. One, you could be like, okay, that doesn't make any sense. You can't have a spirituality without some sort of belief system, and religion is the, you know, you're talking to something or there's something else there with you when you're meditating. You know that, I know that. And so like, let's try to discover what that is.
Yeah.
And so you can like, I don't know, there's the truth of it. But then the other half of it is leading with, okay, fine, you're interested in spirituality. I've got this great spirituality for you. Like, and let me show it to you. Like, it's this amazing, and I don't know, for me, like the faith is, there was a, you know, whatever, my journey is, it was over the course of, I'm sure, 5, 10 years. My wife took her faith very seriously, which I'm sure is like 99% of it. The prayers of my mother, I'm sure, is the another 99% of it. And there was certainly an intellectual side to it. But the thing for me that kept happening was I would listen to like C.S. Lewis. And I'd be like, oh, wow, yeah, no, definitely Christianity, obviously. And then I'd listen to Sam Harris or Richard Dawkins or somebody else who's really good at debating. And I'd be like, ah, yeah, no, it's all BS. So that's whatever. Whoa. They just tricked. And then I'd listen to, you know, one YouTube video or one podcast and then another. And I'd just be like, this doesn't feel right. Like, I'm just being convinced as to the truth of my life by whoever is the more skilled speaker. Like that, you know, that doesn't, that, whatever YouTube video happens to pop up on my thing. And so there's like, yes, you can understand the faith intellectually. But for me, had I just had that, and then somebody really intelligent, and there's so many more people much smarter than me, and that would have come to me and been able to, whatever, poke holes in all of the arguments that I understood. But like now it's like, okay, if you try to convince me Jesus isn't real, you're gonna have an easier time convincing me my wife isn't real. Like it's a friend. It's my friend who's with me, closer to me than my wife is.
I talked to him
all the time. I talk to him all the time, and he's proven it to me like time and time again by smacking me in the face, both tangibly and in prayer. And so it's like it would be easier for me to clinically go insane than it would be for me to not believe in Jesus now.
Praise God.
And that is like, I don't know, that journey. I think there's a bunch of different ways to the Lord, but I do think this, like a relationship with Him, even if there's another entry point, has to be at the center. But also it's like a great way in. It's just like, hey, just I'm not very good at convincing you, but just talk to the guy. Like just give him 10 minutes, shut up, sit down, and just talk to him. And I bet you're gonna hear what I heard, which is, hey, the Eucharist is it. Hey, you should go to Mass. Hey, you should go to confession. Like and we see this all the time now in people who use the app, like people who haven't been to church in 30, 40 years, who just sit down, give them 5-10 minutes, and he just radically changes their life. And like, you just give him that, and he does it. He's just sitting there knocking, waiting.
Man. I mean, that's like any good evangelization tries to lead from my words to an encounter. Yeah. You guys just cut straight to the, let's just pray.
Yeah, we cheat.
It reminds me of St. Charles Foucault's conversion. I don't know if you're familiar with the story. He was an atheist, and he was very argumentative. He would go into the confessional and just to give a priest a hard time and start fighting him. And one day he went and knelt down. He's like, hey, Father, what about this? And the priest just goes, stop talking. Tell me your sins. Give me your confession right now. Mm. It's like, because that sin probably is why you have half the doubts. Not that every atheist, that's why. But, you know, he read the guy's soul. He gave his confession, walked out of the confessional practicing Catholic.
No way.
You know, even baptized, became an atheist. And
awesome.
He's like, boom. It's like, let's just get right to it. Is that your motive? I mean, like, you know, what gets you up in the morning working so dang hard? Are you trying to target Alex as the atheist who's exploring? Is that the guy, like your avatar you're trying to reach? It's basically yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, which is kind of fun. And I think it's, I don't know, I think it's probably the reason, like God could have chosen so many better product people or anybody to work on this thing. But I think the one thing maybe that I was able to bring it, especially to the early days, and even now I'm not that far away from it, so I still, but like I still kind of have a sense of when you've fallen away from the faith, like, you know, how do you talk to somebody like that? And what like rubs them the wrong way and what gets them most interested? But I mean, what you said is right, like we don't do any of it. Like God does it all. And every time we get anything, it's just so clear that he's the one doing it. It's not a recording, even though we have incredible recordings from yours truly on there. It's never what you say.
The best. Can we go on record? The best?
It is. People have said the stuff you do on the app, people have said it's the best stuff on the app. So
yes! It happened! He said it! I'm sorry.
We'll have to
now I have to go to confession for my pride.
We'll have to tell I'm
done. Best, but if you like remove Jeff Cavins and Jonathan Rumi and Mark Wahlberg,
like
at least the top
and then,
20.
You know, all the other priests and nuns, but the, but no, like we, so it's funny because it's like what gets you, we've been doing this now for 7-8 years or so, which is so funny. We crossed 1 billion prayers praised only to the Lord. We crossed 1 billion prayers prayed on the app exactly 7 years to the day after we launched the app, which is crazy.
No way,
yeah,
dude.
Like the statistical chances of that are,
you've
got
to be kidding,
it's just
me.
Insane. But the funny thing is, like people often ask startup people, like, what's the vision or what's the dream? And usually the answer is like, oh, I want to hit like 100 million downloads or I want to hit something. And like for me, it's just, it's some number. And the numbers are really cool because they represent people.
Yeah.
But Like, had you told me we'd cross 1 million downloads, I would have been like, that's, what? That's it. We're done. That's awesome. That's incredible. Wow. But for us, it's like the coolest part by far is getting to journey with folks who have fallen away. And God does it in the most, I have 1,000 stories, so you're going to have to cut me off by sharing all these stories.
But no, I want to hear a couple of them. Yeah, please.
There was this young woman who reached out to us. This is one of my favorites. She was 15. She called herself a nihilistic atheist, which is crazy intense for like a 15-year-old to call herself that. She was having a really, really tough time at school, friends, you know, the school life, having a really, really tough time, struggling with depression. And her mom was really worried about her, downloaded the app onto her phone, and things got really bad. She decided she was gonna take her life. She wrote her father a suicide note and climbed into the bathtub, preparing to kill herself. And a little push notification, she had her phone next to her
bathtub.
Got
to be kidding me, man.
A little push notification from Hallow came, just an automated little thing. And she looked up at the ceiling and she said, God, you know that I don't believe in you, but this is your last chance. If you're real, prove it to me. And she opens the phone, opens the little notification, presses play on a meditation, and the meditation was on Christ's passion. And she said she realized in that moment, it had nothing to do with depression, it had nothing to do with suicide. She said she realized in that moment that Christ was there in the room with her, and he stretched out his hand and lifted her up out of the bathtub, and she dedicated the rest of her life to serving him in the inner city, and serving the poor in the inner city on behalf of him. And we talked to her like 3 years later when she was 18, 19. As a missionary. And it was just like, oh,
thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. What? But, it, you know, we didn't, like, it wasn't like an argument of, like, here's why your life has worth, which would be a beautiful meditation, but it had nothing to do with what we did. And the push notification, I'm sure, had nothing to do with anything. It was just God. And all we do, the fun part about Hallow is, and you have a hard job as a content creator, because you have to actually create content. Now it's, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but for us, all we do is try to get you to a place where God can talk. That's it. Like, our whole job is just, how can we get you to a place? And the audio files, you know, like a good chunk of them are silence, where it's just like, just let the Lord speak. And he says these things. Mm. We had this other young woman who reached out to us who was just caught in this terrible sexual sin, like terrible, a bunch of sin, but just habitually caught in this life. And she opened up a meditation, had nothing to do with anything. It was just a daily gospel meditation, I think, mostly silence. And she said to Jesus, you can't love me. I'm too broken. There's no way. And he just goes, I love you. And she goes, look at what I've done. You can't love me. And he just goes, I love you. And just for 10 minutes, she's just sitting there in silence. And he just keeps saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. Whoa. And she converts and comes back to it's just like, he just does these awesome things. And he's real. So it's he's there, you know? So it's not like, oh, some like, this is some technique to like get yourself to say happy thoughts to yourself. It's like, no, these things come from something else. You know they come from something else as soon as you sit there. And it's exactly what you need. It's like it's a loving father just there for you, just trying to fill you with love. So yeah, we cheat. We're just like, hey, we do literally nothing. The app is just a bunch of pretty pictures to get you to shut up and sit still.
Dude, I just love you. Seriously, I love that focus. What a great reminder to me. It's like to everybody who's watching. Like if you're into your faith and you're thinking, how do I share it? It's like, don't forget that there's a guy here that it
takes a lot of weight off, you know?
Right? Like it's not just all about you saying it right.
Yeah.
I mean, have the faith that if you bring someone into, hey, do you want to meet him? Like that something magical just might happen.
Yeah.
You know, because the Lord is there. He's real. Wow.
Yeah,
man.
The analogy I use sometimes is like, could you imagine if there was like, I had some like deca-billionaire sitting next to me that you couldn't see because he's invisible, but I know he's here. He has billions of dollars and he just wants to give you money. And he's just told me that he just wants to give you a bunch of money. Like how would I introduce that person to you? Like I'd really want you to know him, and I'd want you to know him as a friend, like as a person who really wants to give you something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like that is what we have, but infinitely greater. Like we have this person here who you know, luckily, but who a lot of people don't, who he's just sitting there waiting for them to turn around and say hi. And he wants to give them something so much greater than any money or any material wealth or any material success or any of that. He just wants to give them like perfect joy and perfect love. And it's just, So, like, how would you talk? I don't know. For me, it's not like, oh, well, the Catholic Church believes, which they do. This is an awesome thing, and it should happen because it's very helpful. It's helpful for me. But like, oh, the Catholic Church believes these things. Let's debate it. And right. usually that is, you know, some politically sensitive issue or whatever it is. Versus like, hey, I have this person I know.
Yeah.
You should spend time with them.
If it's not driven from that and leading back to it, then it's just more noise.
Yeah, it's
just more sound filling the air around us, man.
And we have this in Silicon Valley. So I was in Silicon Valley when we first started.
Yeah.
For like 2-3 years. And obviously not the hotbed of Christianity. It is kind of changing now, but certainly when I was there, 2017, 2018, certainly was not. But they are really good at making apps that people use all the time right. and products that people love. And the biggest learning I had coming out of that was this really counterintuitive thing when you're starting an app, which is, you know, so 100 people will download an app, and if you're lucky, the next day, 30 might use it, and then the next day, 25 might use it, and then the next day, 20 might use it, and then 19, then 18, then 18, then 18, and then 18. Maybe it goes down a little bit, but hopefully the line, you know, hopefully there's some chunk of people that yeah. keep using it every day. And there's two approaches to like trying to understand how to make it better. The one approach is you go to the 82 and that stopped using it, or the 70 that stopped using it on the first day, and you say, hey, why didn't you stop? Why didn't you use it? What was it about it? And the answer is almost always not actually that helpful, because it's like, oh, I didn't have time, I couldn't squeeze it. It's almost always I didn't make it a priority, which just means it wasn't good enough. Like that's not, if you're building an app, it's like, well, yeah, okay, but if instead what Silicon Valley does really well is they say, ignore the 82 completely, ignore the 80. Just go to the 18 that use it every day and say, why do you use this every day? And what you'll find is the essence of the thing you're trying to do. And then your goal is, okay, now I try to both make that better, reach out to people who are interested in that thing, and then try to expand that so that I can kind of serve more people generally through that core thing. But like as a church, you know, we spend, and the church is obviously a very different organization than a startup, but like as a church, we spend so much time on the, hey, why aren't you going to church? And that's like, well, because of this political thing or this crisis or this political thing or whatever. Whereas if you flipped it to like, okay, the woman in the Adoration Chapel at 2 a.m., why is she there? And like sometimes it's Aquinas's five ways, you know, Bishop Barron, whatever. Sometimes there's the intellectual side of things. Sometimes it's beauty. There's a bunch of different paths. But like a lot of the time, it's, well, because that's Jesus. He's my God. And
gives
this is
peace
how I
and
have
joy.
I have a relationship with him. Like this is my friend and savior. Like this is the person I know.
Yeah.
And so it's prayer. It's the spiritual life. So I don't know, for us, that's like always been like, how do we reach out to folks that way with offering what, like we don't invent anything new. The church has had this all for 2000 years. We just take it and just give it to people and say like, hey, with a face that's, you know, super pretty like Chris Stefanik's, how can we invite you into a relationship with the Lord?
Praise God.
Yeah, that's cool.
God is good. There's a culture shift happening that I connect dots directly to Hallow with some of this, honestly, which is, that's a huge thing to say. I mean, we'll circle back to how you handle that emotionally, because it's true. I mean, when you have an app that's gotten that big, got that many people praying, you have an ad in the Super Bowl, you're impacting the culture. I gave a talk on a college campus years ago, and I remember the director of inclusivity and diversity came up to me afterwards, and she was, that's actually a setup for you're thinking like, how did that go? But it was a great conversation. She's like, Chris, I'm genuinely confused. Almost 70% of our campus is Christian, most of them Catholic. This is like New Jersey, Italian Catholicism. Like they're all here. She said they won't tell anyone. They're all afraid. And like 2% of our campus is part of pride groups, and they're all telling everyone. She's like, she's genuinely asking, what is going on? That's shifting. I mean, there's a literal shift. And I think it's in part because you got people saying, look, let's not complicate this. Hey, here's Mark Wahlberg praying. You know, by the way, I've joked with you before, we're going to rename Lent the Mark Wahlberg 40-Day Challenge.
It's my favorite.
It's the official. That's it, right? There's a shift happening where people are getting less afraid to say, I'm with him. These people are normal. They're praying. I could do that too. A Gallup poll recently showed that the group of people saying, I don't identify as any religion, the nuns that had been growing, well, now we got a 6-7% uptake among those people now identifying again as Catholic or as Christian. I'm connecting a lot of dots here between that and the phenomena of what you started. I guess my question is this, dude: do you see the connection of those dots? Because as a guy who's been on evangelization for years, who's now noticing it, it's a little easier, right? Like someone's greased the tires a little bit to where it's flowing a little better, and people are a little less afraid to rise up and say, "Yeah, I'm into the prayer thing. I'm into Jesus too." Yeah. Do you see that too?
Well,
and does it get to your head?
It's funny because it's in the early days of Halo. There were really two things when people asked about the vision. The one was like the people like Lauren, like the people who are in really dark, really tough places. Like, man, if we could be, like if I did that one more, like I'd work for 60 years if there's one more person out there. Like if God was like, hey, you're gonna lose everything, everybody's gonna hate you more than the other Alex Jones and it's gonna be awful. Mm-hmm. But it's like in 20 years, you're gonna get to be some small little part of another young girl's or another young person or another someone's journey to finding God in a place of real darkness. I'd be like, yeah, I want to do that. The other thing that would be really cool and really fun is like that sad little line that goes down and to the left of, well, that's how I grew up. Like that was Christianity, down and to the left. And when we were starting Halo, that's certainly what it was. Like when we were pitching it to people, they were like, Christianity is dying. Why would you back a dying horse, especially Catholicism?
Wow.
But like if that just started to tick around and we could be some tiny little footnote, like the 30th footnote, and in that little like, hey, by the way, when this thing started to tick around, here was some of the stuff that was going on, like how cool would that be? But
oh my gosh,
I don't know,
right.
It's like God has got such a bigger, more intricate, more beautiful picture. I mean, there's so much going on. There's The Chosen, there's these, there's all these movies that are coming out now, a lot of media. There's a lot of really great music that's coming out. Like
it's a moment
really
of grace,
Christian
there's no
music.
Question.
The college campuses, like there's these really cool things happening on college campuses, people encountering the Lord. But yeah, I mean, it blows my mind when, and we have folks we partner with who, you know, create content on the app and like amazing authors or amazing speakers, like Father Gallagher had done these incredible Ignatian retreats on the app. And
love that guy.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good. And he like led some session. He said he used to get, you know, maybe two requests for a retreat a week, and now he gets like 30 a day. And it's just like the what God has done with this tiny little thing is just it blows my mind. So like I think God is doing something really cool. I do think there's like when you encounter the Lord really, like if you're convinced, sure, fine, it's like I'm convinced of some party position or something, but if you encounter him, he changes your life, and then it's like just nothing comes close. Like everything fades away. Like even the things that really matter don't come close.
Amen.
So it's like your career, all this like vanity of what the world thinks of me is gone. Like the stress of the day to day, it's not gone, it's transformed, but it's like relative to what is offered to you, you're like, oh, this isn't It's so hard to explain, but it's just, I mean, St. Paul does it. The veil is lifted.
Amen.
And you're just like, oh, this was all nothing. Like this was all just lies. It's just, the world is just nothing. And then you discover this, like he gives, especially some people, this incredible courage, but it's courage like, you know, if somebody talked bad about my wife, I wouldn't need a whole lot of courage. Like it'd be very natural for me to be like, don't do that. Or we're gonna have a problem. Like that's not what happens. And it's the same with like, I don't know, you just get this courage that he gives you that's like, oh, well, he changed my life. He saved my life. Like, I'm not afraid to talk about this.
Amen.
But you get that just from him. I don't know, does it go to my head? I think like, I mean, I'm a sinner in a thousand ways. And not the crappy part. I guess it is certainly a grace, but like the way God reveals sin to you, especially when you're coming back from falling away, because you have there's so much brokenness. But it's like He only shows you one at a time, and then He just keeps showing you, you know. So it's just like you have the one really obvious thing, and then it's like, okay, through God's grace, we can overcome that. And then you have the next, like, kind of obvious thing that's like, oh, shoot, I didn't really see that before. I was just kind of focused on this. And then eventually you're like, oh, this is, like, everything. I, like, my whole, everything I do is
tainted.
Pride or vanity or whatever. It's, like, all self-thought or, and the analogy I had, like, a priest was like, when you're driving away from the sun, the windshield looks really clean. When you're driving towards the sun, you see all the cracks. And you do. Like, you see, oh, my gosh, like, how far. And it's this, it's this actually a really hard battle in the spiritual life because you see how far you have to go, so much more. Like, the mountain just keeps getting further and further. But then you also get to look back and be like, wow, like, I'm, that's a very different person. Like, that's that's not who I am now. That's cool. But I, so yeah, the humility is, I don't know, for me, is like, how can you grow in this depth of humility? God has made it very easy for me because my rational mind, like, it'd be absurdly irrational for me to claim credit for it. And I've only told you, like, one of the stories. I could tell you 1,000 stories.
Yeah.
I will tell you, actually, one more.
Yeah, please, yeah.
The Super Bowl, where we get to, yes, the Super Bowl ad is the first time Mark Wahlberg is going on, like, is the Today Show or Fox and Friends or something, some big national show.
Yeah.
We wake up in the morning, no app's ever cracked, the top 10. I wake up in the morning and we're number 3. And it's like 5 a.m. And it was because we sent an email out and people just really started using it. It's Ash Wednesday. I'm in New York with Mark for the Today Show thing. And I go to open the app and the app is completely crashed. It's completely white. Just, you can't do it, you can't do anything. So hundreds of thousands of people are trying to pray with it in this moment because they're like, people pray usually between like 5 and 7 a.m. So hundreds of thousands of people are trying to pray right now, and it's just totally white. And the issue with the crash is usually we can figure out a crash within like 2-3 seconds.
Yeah.
But it, or like at least 2 minutes. But this crash just keeps getting worse and worse because people really want it. So they keep closing it and reopening it and closing it and reopening it. So instead of like 100,000 people, it's like 500,000 attempts. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And our developer, our we have a whole team of engineers now, but the main guy who's like this incredible stud was just like, all right, I'm on it. But, and he's the smartest, the best developer I've ever met in my life. And I think everybody would attest to that, but just can't figure it out. And so I go to mass. We do like a little private mass with Mark. So he gets the ashes before he goes on the show early on in the morning. And I'm sitting there with Father Mark Mary and we go through the mass in 30 minutes. And I like try, I'm trying to focus. I know I'm supposed to surrender. I know it's the Lord doing it, but it's just like, I'm human, I'm weak. And I'm just like, oh, this is just, but it's Ash Wednesday. It's like the big thing. And it's just, no one can do it. And it's just, it's not like it's, oh, kind of slow. It's like, no, it's just a white screen.
It's what a nightmare.
And so I'm just praying. And I'm like, Lord, I'm trying to surrender. I just, I can't, I don't know what you're trying to do here, but this seems really sad. And the, and like, what am I supposed to tell Mark? Because Mark doesn't know. So I'm like, and I'm just trying to kind of keep it together in mass. And so I'm like, what am I supposed to tell him? Because he's going on national TV in like 20 minutes. Am I supposed to be like, hey.
There is no app.
There, yeah, just check it in a couple hours. I don't know. Just like, hey, hello, but check it in a couple hours. But anyway, so we finished the mass and Father comes over to me and he's like, hey, Alex. So everybody's left. And he's like, hey, so I noticed like you seem, is something up? It seems like there's something. Like, are you distraught? Is there something on your mind? And I was like, yeah, Father, like, I'm really trying to surrender here, but the app's crashed. It's been crashed for like 35 minutes. This is the longest crash we've ever had by far. It's only ever crashed for like 2 minutes before. It's been like almost half, it's been almost 45 minutes. So I mean, are we ever going to get back up? And he was like, oh, do you mind if I pray for you real quick? And I said, yes, please, Father. And he just goes, thanks, Alex. And then he leaves.
No way.
And 2 seconds later, it's up.
You gotta be kidding me, bro.
Isn't that? So like, then you're like, oh, well, does it, your head get big? And it's like, whatever, I'm a broken, I'm way more prideful than I should be. I need to grow in humility infinitely. But like, I can't even rationally take credit for that, you know? Like,
oh,
it's,
no, that's.
It's obviously God just
like. That's like the first time during
like,
this interview, I got my hair just
like,
kind of went up.
But for Halo, it is the same story every time. It's like everything we try to do that's good. And it's not in the eyes of the world, numbers or whatever. It's in the, in God. In the eyes of the kingdom, but like, we just grasp and grasp and grasp, and then we just are like, God, I can't do this.
And the Lord might have had that crash just for you, honestly. Like,
probably
you are more precious to Him than an app. You know, like,
yeah. Which, like, I wish I was holier. That we wouldn't have had to do that. And the couple people we lost praying could have prayed. But
I know every time it crashes, I'll check in. And what are you doing, man?
Yeah, not
to fangirl, but Mark Wahlberg, Gwen Stefani, Chris Pratt, like all these people I'm seeing on there that, again, if any of them are watching.
Chris Stefani.
Christopher, right. No, but thank you for not being afraid to just say I'm a Catholic or a Christian in Chris Pratt's case. You've encountered these people in a way you probably never, as a teenage kid, imagined you would ever have any encounters with them at all. What surprised you about them? You know, for most of us, we're looking at them from the outside saying these are completely inaccessible human beings, have no idea what they're actually like, what their lives are like. What jumps out?
They're all, I mean, it's one of the great, we have a tremendous number of blessings because we get to work with, I mean, like Mother Olga we've gotten to work with, who is just a walking Mother Teresa.
A literal saint, yeah.
Just a literal, like you walk around and you're like, oh, I get to hang out with Mother Teresa today. How cool is this?
Yeah.
And got Sister Miriam, who's just like leads you in this imaginative prayer every single time that makes you cry. Father Gallagher.
I hate Sister Miriam for that.
Every time
I'm interviewing her, I cry.
Every time.
It's annoying.
But these like incredible spiritual leaders who we get to, and they lead the vast majority of the content on the app. So Mark might do an ad, and he'll do a little session on Fridays, which are great. They're very powerful, and he does a very good job of them. But like most of what Hallow is about is getting you to Jesus, and then most of the people who get you there are the spiritual guys. Mm. But these guys, and people underestimate, especially when you're outside of these worlds, but like Silicon Valley, New York, and Hollywood are still very vehemently, especially Hollywood, anti-Christian. Mm-hmm. So like, and these guys have giant teams. There's a bunch of, they're companies. I mean, they themselves are companies.
Yeah.
And so there's like all these people. But it's this whole culture of, it does actually really take, for them, which it doesn't feel like it would, like, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of courage for me to like show up on YouTube and be like, oh, I love Jesus.
Right.
But for them, it does actually. And people will tell you like, oh, your career's over. You're, you know, nobody's gonna watch your shows. Netflix never gonna have you on their whatever streaming thing again. HBO's never gonna, Apple's never, we're never gonna be able to work with any of these people again, blah, blah, blah. And so it does take this, and they do get like a tremendous amount of hate. So.
Wow.
Like Gwen, I mean, there's a bunch of people who get a tremendous amount of hate.
Just for saying I'm Catholic, let's pray.
Just for saying I love Jesus. Like, just for saying, hey, you should try Jesus. And it's like, oh, you've betrayed who you used to be, and
my
I was
gosh.
A fan. And they're fans, you know? So it's, as a person, that's hard, because it's like these people who are cheering you on through your career, but then they, you know, they're really upset about this thing. But these people are all, like all of them, are really pretty remarkable people of faith. I mean, Mark is, and like there's this courage and there's this profound humility. Like Gwen is one of the most humble people I've met in my life,
wow.
which is just crazy. Chris is hilarious, a deep man of faith, like loves trying to invite people to the Lord. And Mark is just, he just has this courage and this like, I don't know, this way of inviting you into the faith that is real and authentic, but like unabashed.
Praise God.
But it's, yeah, I mean like his story is, he started doing Father Stu. He felt like he was called to do Father Stu, and he said he felt like the Lord was calling him to use this chapter of his career and the platform that God had given him to spread his word, to spread a relationship with Jesus. And so we started working together and have kept working together. He's been incredible. But he was like, yeah, it's, I was like, okay, I'll do Father Stu and then I'll be done. Like, that'll be my God thing. I'll like check the box, you're welcome, God, and I'm done. And then he just like, that was just the crack of the door. Now it just takes the whole thing. And so now everything is, and he's funny because he's like, look, I've done, you know, The Departed, Invincible, the Boston bombing thing, the shoot, like Lone Survivor, all these crazy, incredible movies. And he goes, the only thing anyone will come up to me and talk to me about now is that they pray with me every day on Hallow.
Wow.
The rosary or whatever it is. And it's just like, but glory to the, but it does.
That's incredible.
I don't know, it takes this courage. And yeah, there are people of, Kevin James is another one, like profound humility, which is crazy because it's the world where that is not, you know, humility is not the main thing, these people.
Mm.
And so it's this real gift from God. But like some of the most humble people I know are, you know, Kevin and Gwen. And I mean, it's just this, and fame is actually for people who, that level of fame is not something I would ever aspire to. Or want, it's like a real cross. It's really heavy.
No, they can't go out. It can't be normal.
No, it's a prison.
Yeah.
And when you do, Now, you know, they have tremendous privileges and God has blessed them in many ways. But when you do, like, you know, you'll be at dinner and like 400 or 500 people will come up to you throughout the dinner, like a 2-hour dinner, and just be like, hey, can I take a picture? Can I? And especially with Jonathan, with Rumi, he's, and again, an incredible man of faith, incredibly humble. And I couldn't have picked, like, if you thought a character and like a human in the world to portray our Lord, it would be him. But it's such a cross, because he, I mean, a bunch of these, unhealthily worship celebrities.
Yeah.
But then if the celebrity you're worshiping is also a person you're supposed to actually worship. And like Jonathan, for a lot of people, when they close their eyes and pray, Jesus, it's Jonathan or Jim or whatever it is. Right. But then you just have these incredibly difficult, like you have this burden of, which isn't, I mean, it's the burden we're all supposed to carry, but for him, it's this unique, like, he is Jesus to people. So you gotta like always be,
that's,
like,
that's,
I am
a
your
heavy
encounter
burden,
with
buddy.
Jesus, which is crazy. Yeah. Now we all are, like that's true for all of us in a way. And he does a great job of extending that invitation for everybody. But no, for me, I've been blown away by the humility, the courage, and just generally, like, they all just really, they actually really like the content. They're like,
Whoa.
Oh, this is awesome. Like St. Jose Maria Escriva. I you know, I'd never dove in this deeply into St. Jose Maria Escriva, or He Leadeth Me, or Father Chizik. It's just like, they just love on their journeying closer to the Lord, which is really all any of us are doing.
Wow. I talked to Jonathan's sister once. Great lady.
She's so good.
Yeah, she's amazing. But she's like, I realized when I closed my eyes to pray and saw my brother that I had to stop watching The Chosen.
Well, you want to hear something funny? So Jonathan texted me, and he goes, I don't know if he's going to be okay with me sharing this, but forgive me, brother, if not. But he goes like, hey, so John, the today's gospel reading, which was John 3:16, he goes, it was weird because I switched from my Jesus accent to the normal Jonathan voice, but I'm still in... like, it's still Jesus' words, so it seems like a bug, you know. And he sent, a bunch of people sent us bugs, so I was like, well, thank you very much, we'll QA it. And I actually thought, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, I was like, yeah, Jesus does say that. It should be in your accent.
Yeah.
And because when he reads the gospel, which is this beautiful, he brings it to life in this really unique way, but he does, like, the narrator portions in his normal voice and then the Jesus quotes in the Jesus voice. And so I was like, yeah, Jesus does say that. And then I go and look up the scripture, and I was like, actually, no, that John says that. Like, it's right after a quote from Jesus.
Wow.
But John is the one, it's the narrator. So John is writing that, for God so loved the world. And I was like, that's funny, because I didn't think, I actually agreed with you initially. I thought, for God so loved the world.
Yeah, I just
Jesus.
Had that in my head.
But, and then I was like, why do I think that? And then I was like, it's probably because Jonathan in season 1 or 2 says that line. So they take it from John and give it to Jonathan in the season, because he's talking to Nicodemus or something, and he says, for God so loved the world. And I was like, isn't that's sad. Like, I actually read a lot of scripture, and I am still, like, wildly tainted by The Chosen as, you know, an influence. But yeah, no, imagining... I mean, I was raised on Jim Caviezel Jesus, you know, so that's my...
Yeah, Caviezel Jesus and Rumi Jesus.
That's my, movie, TV, and Jim is incredible too, yeah. So when I close my eyes to pray, like when I see an image of Jesus, it's like, even if it's unbiased, because I've looked, you know, there's a lot of paintings and stuff, but there's this deep bias of like, well, I've seen The Passion a lot of times, and like The Chosen, I've watched a lot of episodes, so it is like this, I mean, it forms you in a way that's, I mean, it's heavy.
It's huge. Well, please God, let these people coming out lead to some culture shift in Hollywood, you know?
I mean, cause I think it is.
I think so too. Cause it's like when people that big are coming out repeatedly, and you can see that they're getting behind a flag bearer, which in a big way is just, hey, here's a simple app. We're just praying, something to put on the Super Bowl and a call to action. But then more and more people come behind that flag, and it could lead to a massive culture shift, but also in Silicon Valley, which is, I mean, when they own all the platforms wherein people share ideas, no one knew when we put a channel up on any one of them that you're really, instead of it being, you know, the freedom to speak your mind because there's the man, but now I can speak my mind. Now it's like still the man, only there's less of them.
Creating content,
right?
For free.
but you guys have gotten a platform that's actually so large that it's. I mean, it's a substantive voice in the public space, for a different purpose. But the amount, St. Michael's Lent, like the amount of views on that, I didn't believe you guys how big that would be.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like 400,000 people praying with us.
That's insane.
It completely blows my mind. That catches the attention, though, of people in Silicon Valley. It's got to. And I read this quote from The Telegraph that calls you the man helping Silicon Valley to find God. Wow. The
worst picture of me. But they took a picture of me, and I said, every picture any newspaper has ever taken of me, I look absolutely horrendous. And that is the worst picture I've ever had taken. But they were like,
we're
going to
pull it up on the screen. Can we share that?
Please don't do that.
Go ahead.
But,
front and center.
But the, anyway, my team, people ask me how you stay humble, and it's like, it's really actually quite easy. My team just totally, like, we put it on Slack, and everybody's making fun of me.
Get all the
like
worst
GIFs
pictures.
Everywhere. Yeah. So now the emoji reactions, I don't know if you know Slack, but it's like text message, you can, like, emoji react to stuff, and now there's just an emoji reaction of my face that they coded in or whatever, that they added. That's just my super embarrassing thing.
It's awesome.
But no, it does seem like something.
But yeah, how are you seeing that impact in Silicon Valley?
Silicon Valley is dramatic. I think Hollywood is, too. Like, I was talking to a big actor was and had produced and directed a bunch of stuff, and he said, over the last 20 years, I have never been asked for anything faith-based, ever.
Wow.
And in the last 6 months, I've been asked for 3 faith-based scripts by major studios, because they see this. I mean, that's The Chosen, that's Sound of Freedom, that's whatever, these big things that people are hungry for. There's even been a couple kids' animation things that have done really well. And it is actually kind of nice, because in Hollywood, it's not as dominated by the big studios. It still kind of is, but it's not, like, as controlled. And so, like, you know, you can have these angel studios or whatever it is come out with these great hits. Silicon Valley is a different one and a really fascinating one. And I do think it's, I mean, the only way you can explain it is the spirit, because it's not, I mean, there's a few pretty, like, big dog Christians. But, like, it really is this, like, these Bible studies, these things just kind of bubbling up at these different, like, and I see it all, that, like, YC is the big startup thing, is Y Combinator, and they're like, hey, can we have, like, a Christian thing where we come, Stanford is, and it's all this stuff in Silicon Valley where, I don't know, there's, like, Tim Dillon was on Joe Rogan, I think it was, like, 5 years ago, and he was like, it used to be the crazy thing in the 70s to, like, dye your hair blue, and, like, that was the radical thing, and now it's to become, like, traditionally Catholic. And I think that was actually kind of prescient. It's like, yeah, it is actually. And when you see these young people, like, it is this radical. It's almost this, but in a good way. It's not like
it's the right kind of rebellion.
Like, actually, this is the right rebellion. Like, the ways of this world were all BS. And for a young person, especially for tech people, it's a little bit, like, I don't know, you can see it more, like, world is so empty. Like, you can watch a lot of TV, but it doesn't quite as naturally and as objectively rot your brain as social media does. Like, there's something about, and it's so funny, like, if I was Satan and I was trying, like, I knew that if you just learned to, like, sit still and recollect yourself and focus your mind and your heart in the Lord, like, that was heaven on earth. Like, that was this infinite prize that was offered to you. What would I try to do to distract you from? Like, what would I try to do? I would probably try to get some little thing that could fit in your pocket that contained the most angering, the most upsetting, the most engaging, the most hilarious things of the whole world, of every human being alive, and put them, try to get you addicted to that stream of consciousness. So that way, when you sat down and prayed, your mind would just be like 1,000 different thoughts on whatever the most recent crisis or heartbreaking tragedy or whatever hilarious thing was. Wow. And so then you'd never be able to enter that. And that is what we have. And I feel like people in Silicon Valley, or at least people closer to technology, can see that. It's like, this is not the answer. It's like the Jim Carrey thing, like, I wish everybody could become rich and famous, because then you'd realize that wasn't the answer.
Huh.
It's like, yeah, in technology, it's like, I know this isn't. Like, the Pinterest guy doesn't let his kid use the phone. You know, it's like these people know that this isn't it. They know that it's bad. And now there's, like, you know, whatever, there's ways that God can reach out to people, there's good things, God can use the tool for good, but it's so addicting that it just corrodes your mind. And so, I don't know, I think you can see that in Silicon Valley a little clearer than in other places, because you're so close to it. And it does seem like there's something really cool happening. I mean, there's a bunch of new Bible apps, there's a bunch of new prayer apps, there's a bunch of new faith-based stuff coming out of the Valley, which is, it's awesome. So, yeah, I think there's something cool happening.
Do you see them, like, what you're doing is kind of a missionary thing? I mean, there's some people who point out what you just said, and their conclusion is, let's just switch to paper.
Yeah.
Do you see this as kind of a missionary outpost in the midst of the fire?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the it's an interesting, generally my, and when we first started Hallow, it was like, why would you use an app to pray? It's like the technology is what's wrong. Like technology is the evil thing. Get away from technology, go back to paper, get away from the world of whatever's going on in technology and social media. And for me, it was just, I don't know, I certainly didn't dive in as deep to the theology or to the church's teaching behind it, but for me, it was just like, well, I was just building it for me, so I didn't really. Mm. It was like, oh, well, I have this phone with me. It's not like I'm going to get rid of my phone. I have work. Mm. And it's kind of, I don't know, for me, it was almost like a church in a city. Like a city is mostly evil. It's, and at a minimum, mostly noise, or mostly the pursuit of wealth or vanity or whatever, but it's mostly busyness and noise. And like, is that the ideal thing? Like, probably not. Like, living out in the country is probably more ideal.
It's a beautiful image.
But like, there is, you still can have a church in the city. And like, perfect. We have beautiful churches in downtown Chicago where it's like, you walk in and it's just like, it's just, all the noise is just, and it's like in the middle of a skyscraper, but it's just like gone. And it's just the Lord there. And for me, it's like, Hallow, God can do that. He has done it, at least for me, in this phone where it's like, this place of all the work and all the busyness and whatever, but you can still go to some place that's like, no, this is for the Lord.
Mm.
And I do think the church like charts this narrow way, not for every technology, but for like social media or the internet or phones or whatever, where it's like, yeah, it will mostly be used for evil. The internet is mostly used for evil, and at a minimum, if it's not evil, it's noise, which is evil. Like distraction, noise, something to get your mind away from God. It's mostly used for that. But it can be used for good. Like the opposite reaction on the other side is like, well, let me just escape from it all. Mm. And like the Catholic Church and the church, and Pope Leo especially, and it's whatever he's said so far on AI and what the church has said so far on AI applies similarly, but it's like there is this narrow path that most people won't travel. But God can use this thing to reach out to people who have and introduce them to his love. And like for us, it's, I mean, I have shared maybe one or two, but there are literally thousands of these that we get every day. A man who's been addicted to cocaine for 30 years who's able to be sober for the first time in his life. A mom who lost her kid who's not able to be...
Thank you, Jesus.
Get out of bed, who's able to find the hope of Christ again in her life. I mean, there's a woman caught in adultery who was able to break off the affair, reconnect with her husband, get clean and sober. I mean, there's just...
Praise
there's
God.
So many stories of God using even just this tiny little tool of Hallow to reach out to people who have fallen away. And for us, it's like, yeah, okay, he can use this. And so how do you, I don't know, for us, it's like, how do you chart that narrow path that most people won't follow, but that God can use to reach out to his children?
Hmm. Wow. What would you say to someone who's watching thinking, I want to make an impact for God, but they fall into the metrics of, if it's not big, it doesn't matter. Hmm. If it's not starting an app, if it's not having a YouTube channel, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I just was talking to somebody about this the other day, and it was like, what advice? And I really, I do almost everything wrong, and so my advice.
I'm gonna disagree with that, but that's fine.
No, I really do.
You've done a couple things pretty right.
I was talking to a guy you know on our team just before this at breakfast, and I said I really do have very few skills. One skill I do have is when someone tells me some project or something that's very complicated, that's a very hard thing to do, I'm just like, yeah, that sounds super easy. Like, yeah, it's just this irrational, like, yeah, that's not that hard at all.
That's which awesome.
But it's good because it just gets you in to start doing it, and then you're like, oh, well, I'm doing it, and now I've discovered that it's actually really hard. Like audio editing. Editing audio is very hard.
Yeah.
And it's like there's so many little things. You want to make the audio so good. And I was like, how hard can it be? And then it is actually quite hard, and you learn how to do it. Mm. But I don't know. For me, the one thing that I have learned is like...
So I want to pause right there real quick, because there's something to learn from that I don't want to glance over, move past too quickly. There's a lot of people who don't start doing something, because they want to have it figured out before they start.
Yeah,
and there's a genius in that thing that you just characterized as maybe a flaw. It's like, hey, let's take off with the airplane and bring some duct tape.
Maybe it won't work
We'll figure it out.
You do need, I don't know, there's different gifts for different people, though. You need the person who's like, dude, actually, this is really hard. Like, you have to figure out this thing.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who actually
get it
done.
For it to get anywhere, you need them.
You're actually like, oh, well, yeah, that's how I edit audio.
But sometimes if that's all you have start moving anywhere, and then they don't have jobs either.
There was somebody who had this line, and I forget, I'm going to quote it out of context, but it was, if God only shows me the end, usually. If he showed me the path I'd have to travel, I never would have gone.
Dude, right?
And it's like, yeah. It's like, you know, I don't know, you have this thing that's like, oh, I feel like there's... But if you get caught up in the, I don't know, just try it. The worst that can happen is you get embarrassed, and that's good, better for you than... It's better for you than had you been successful. It's better for your soul. For me, it's like, the one advice is, and Pope Leo had this at his last, one of his talks recently, where he said, he was talking to content creators, but he said, it is not a matter of simply generating content. It is about creating an encounter of hearts.
Amen.
And whether you're a content creator or in technology or evangelization or whatever it is, it's like, for me, it's always this encounter of hearts, which starts first with yours. Like, you said this beautifully before, like, it has to start here and flow from there and then come back to there. And it's like, it always has to start. If you feel like you're doing it for you, or you feel like you're the one driving it, like, there's a different feeling, which is that you're being led. And for me, that's the big discernment, is like, okay, there's this encounter. I have to encounter the Lord. And then from that, I share. And the funny thing goes back to the Jim Carrey thing. Like, we've had a lot of downloads, way more than I ever would have thought we would have had. And had you told me, I remember we were meeting with an app, another founder of an app who was further ahead than us, and he had like 10,000 five-star reviews on his app in the App Store. And Eric and I, my co-founder, looked at each other and were like, dude, if we ever got 10,000 app reviews, that's it.
You made
it. Game over. Like, that's amazing. And we have, I think, 400,000 five-star. And it's just, but the numbers don't ever do it. So, like, if you chase numbers, they never fulfill. There's no difference. Like, you might be like, yay, 1 million downloads. And even that, you kind of have to force. It's like, but it doesn't, the next day you're like, okay, well, it doesn't give you the energy. Like, it doesn't drive you. So the numbers, the metrics never do. And if you do it for that, it actually doesn't usually, sometimes whatever, good Lord's in charge of everything, but it usually, for us at least, it doesn't work. Like, we did He Leadeth Me for Lent, which was a huge Lent. It was at that time our biggest challenge of all time. And I just did it because the book changed my life radically. Father Chizik, best book. There's a couple of really great books, but certainly top two or three books I've read in my entire life. And nobody had heard of it, I felt like. And I was like, we're going to do this book for Lent. And our content team was like, yes, that's awesome, because it's a phenomenal book. It's a beautiful story of surrender. But our marketing team was like, that's terrible. Nobody's heard of that book. He Leadeth Me, it's like old English. And it's about some, we're blessed now. We have like 50% non-Catholics on the app. So they were like, but it's about like a priest who gets captured by the Soviet Union in the Cold War and spends his life in solitary, like, it's super intense. You've got a lot of, you know, people who are new to their faith, like, this is not gonna, and I was like, I don't really care. Like, I just really love this book.
It's awesome, man.
And we did, and we got to number 1 in the App Store, which is just crazy. And we had more people, I mean, I don't know, we had probably 2 million people praying through that. And I don't know, it's this, but the numbers don't, like, what you should chase is the human, like, serving another human. Like, the serving of another human, even if it's just one person, it's like, if you gloss over it, you lose it. Because, and I'm sure you get this all the time, you get 1,000 comments on a YouTube channel that says, you changed my life. And you can, like, it's so easy as humans to, like, gloss over that. You're just like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. But if you, like, sit with one and you're like, wait, what? And you talk to the person, you're like, what just... Like, when we first launched Allo, we maybe had 100 downloads. One of them happened to be my aunt, who, she had a son and 2 daughters. Son was 40, had just gotten married. His wife had just gotten pregnant with their kid. He had a pain in his chest. He went into the hospital. They checked him out, said he was fine. He went home that night, died in his sleep. And she was heartbroken, obviously, devastated, couldn't eat, couldn't get out of bed, couldn't do anything. We have this giant family, a bunch of like 100, 150 people. And nobody could do anything for her. Mm-hmm. We were all like, what do we do for this woman? Like, how do we help her? How do we, and you can't, you don't, there's nothing you say to that. It's just so deep a wound. There's nothing, mm-hmm. there's nothing anyone can say. And there's nothing anyone can do. Food, nothing. She wasn't eating. And she sent us this note a week after we launched and just said, Alex, I just wanted to let you know, Christmas is always a really stressful time for me. I have to figure out how to get gifts, visit my grandkids, visit, like, travel everywhere, all this stuff. But I just had this immense sense of dread because it was going to be the first Christmas without my son, and I didn't think I'd be able to do it. Mm. And I just wanted to let you know that these little 5-10 minute meditations on Hallow have reminded me that I'm able to have hope even in the darkest time of my life because my hope is in the Lord. And it was just like I broke down in tears. And again, I looked at Eric, and this was, you know, we had 100, 200 downloads, and I was like, if we do nothing else, if your YouTube video reaches 3 people, but one of them was somebody who needed to hear it, that's it. That's worth it. Do it.
Praise God.
But if it's, like, if it's for your own vanity, then yeah, no, that's just, that's dumb. Get out of that. Stop doing your own thing. But if you feel like God is calling you to do something, it's not about numbers, although numbers are helpful. It's, like, good to see what is working and what's not working, and they represent people, so that's great. But if you worship numbers, which most people do, really, at the core, like, most people are worshiping some sort of metric of success.
And the internet is a crack that feeds that vice.
Yeah.
The way it's structured, the way every
like
platform where
your
you share information.
Twitter, and it's like, oh, I got 3,000 likes on that, or I got 1,000 likes, or I got 20 likes. It's like, oh, well, that wasn't a good thing. And it's like, that's not how you...
Yeah. No, you, by example, I'm just, your whole sharing today answers the question. You keep coming back to individual stories. You know, that's what the Lord focuses on. He focuses on the one.
Yeah.
The one person in front of him is the story of the Gospels, man.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah, glory to him.
Let's talk about business for a second.
Sure.
Because I'm just fascinated by the amount of success.
I'm not very good at that either.
Okay. apparently you are. Sorry to tell you that.
It'll crash and burn.
Yeah, the divine element aside, like, that's a ridiculous thing to say, because how could, it's like, that's like saying, pretend there's no air. How do you work out? Right? You don't. So, I mean, the grace is infusing this whole thing. It's miraculous. But what would you know, looking back, what are some of the most important factors that have contributed to the success of this thing and hitting a tipping point? And frankly, what were some of the biggest risks you encountered along the way? The biggest threats to this succeeding at all.
Hmm.
Is it all having the right team around you? Is it all keeping your focus on something simple? Like, what's the secret sauce here?
Isn't that funny? Because, like, business, you know, the people be like, what's when I would think about what is the key to business, like building an organization that works. Or is, like, economically sustainable in some way. It's like, well, I'd think it's like, well, you've got to have the right strategy, and you got to look at the market, and you got to the funding and the product development, and all this stuff that you think about. And me and my two co-founders have been at this is incredible. I am just so, like, co-founders are such an incredible blessing. But we went on this retreat. This was, I think, a year ago, maybe. And we were looking back over the last, I guess it was 6 years at that time, and we're like, what were the 3 best things we did? Like, the 3 best decisions we made, the 3 biggest wins we had, whatever it was. And we talked about a lot of different things, a lot of different product features, a lot of different content ideas, marketing ideas, ad scripts for the Super Bowl, whatever it was. And by far, all 5 were people. And it was, we added this guy and everything changed. We partnered with this person and everything changed.
Wow.
We got to know this person and everything changed. This person came on the team, and most of them were people that we hired onto the team. But it's just, when you find the right person, it's just this infinite, and it's night and day. You see it, like, so clearly in retrospect. It's just like, oh, and a lot of them are a lot of them might be numbers, where it's like, oh, our cost for an ad was whatever, $5, and then it was $1, you know, pre this guy. And it's just, so it just goes to show how much of it is. And it's funny, too, because Jesus is pretty clear about that, too. Like, you're building an organization. What does he focus on? He doesn't sit back and is like, I'm sure he knew this all in his head, but he doesn't, like, sketch out a business plan or whatever. He just goes and gets the 12.
Hmm.
And he's like, these are, and that's what he focused on. Like, he focused so much on forming the 12. Like, after his resurrection, everything was just like, I want you guys, like, to have it. Because then, boom. But, like, if I don't get you, then it's nothing. But, and I don't know, for me, the wisdom of that has just come so much clearer.
Did you read Good to Great?
I did, yeah. Yeah, it's a great book.
Yeah, no, you're living that.
Yes, yeah. No, it's the people. What is his thing is, like, I read it a while ago, it's he also has this great, like, level five leadership of, I think, right, is, like, humble leadership.
Yeah.
Which I hate all business books. I think almost all of them are a total waste of time.
Right.
But that one's actually really good.
And my friend Pat Lencioni, got to give him a shout out.
Yeah, Pat's great. There are some exceptions.
But really is about getting the right team and then focusing on pouring in. Pat's whole focus, pour into the team, make sure they stay healthy, because that's everything is that.
And then it is funny, like, I don't know, how do you develop a team? And for me, again, it's not. And the fun part about a startup is, actually, you probably don't experience this as much, but for me, it's fun because all these guys we started with know I have no idea what I'm doing. You know, now once you join Hallow Now, you might think like, oh, Alex kind of knows what he's doing and like he's leading us in the right direction. But like, you know, the guys who, I mean, we all were the same. We're just guys. Like the two best men of my wedding were three of the five people that we had co-best men because my wife had two sisters. But it's just. So you're just with these guys, which working with your friends is pluses and minuses, but generally infinitely more pluses. And they just know that you have no idea what you're doing. So then it's like, okay, well, how do I pour in to people where it's not like I'm coaching them it's not like I'm some well-experienced CEO teaching people how to manage people. It's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. But the things that I do know, actually, funnily enough, are mostly just like spiritual things. It's like, like a holy hour is really helpful. Pray through stuff. Like, try to live things from the Lord. Like, when you feel like you're the one leading, you can kind of feel when you're the one driving it, and you feel pulled in the other one. I don't know if there's a lightness that comes with the one, there's a heaviness that comes with the other, and then it's just like getting the people. It's a lot of what we do for Hallow, but it's just like getting the people who, you know, can help us form in that way to lead us.
No, once you pass 100 employees, though, how do you keep that going? How do you keep them all focused in the right direction? Frankly, how do you keep yourself and your business focus? I mean, one of the things that'll destroy a business is complexity. That it gets to a certain size, you get so many people, and then you get 50 agendas. I mean, I think of Tom Monahan's, you know, secret sauce is, dude, we're just going to get you a pizza and a soda within 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Within a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And then, hey, you should do burgers, and hey, you should do this, and you know, no, we're going to get you pizza within 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You have a laser focus. I mean, you keep talking about the one person you're reaching. It comes straight from your own conversion. It's amazing. What tries to eat that focus, and what do you do personally to keep that for yourself and for your staff from top down?
Well, yeah, like we have, I think, 110 folks, I guess, on the team full-time, and then probably another 100 or so part-time. But, I mean, it really is... it's the 12. You have this group of people, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 20, maybe it's 15, maybe it's 12, but you have this group of people that you engage with a lot, that you like work with day in and day out, the people, but then they lead the rest of the team. Like, you're no longer, like, I don't manage the person who actually does. So my job is to try to help the leaders on the team to lead. And a lot of that is people stuff. But like that, yeah, I don't know. The focus is, okay, how do we as like the 12 of us, which it really is probably around that, we have kind of like a central team of leadership. How do we stay very focused, and how do we try to help each other be coordinated, whatever? But then those people they're leading big teams. You know, some of those people have 30 people on their team or whatever. It's a big team. So then you have to trust. And yeah, it's important to like have, you know, I try to have one-on-ones with a bunch of the folks on our team, and like I send these really annoying voice memos just to give people, like, you know, for the whole company, like little mini podcasts or whatever that I'm sure are infinitely annoying, but it's just to like, hey, this is what we're trying to do, and try to stay coordinated or whatever. But yeah, you do have 1,000 things. It is, I mean, Jobs, who, you know, is flawed in a lot of ways, but was a great product builder. It was like, the job of an entrepreneur is, after you figure out what you're building, just to say no a lot. Like, it's just no, 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 which is really hard because there's a lot of really cool stuff to do. And like, the church is really desperate for a lot of stuff. I don't know. For me, it's like, it comes back relatively easily to, like, I am just, Hallow is just one little tiny part of the church in one little tiny part of your spiritual journey, and we don't ever try to be everything. We just try to help you pray, and like we just try to help you encounter the Lord. And if we can do that, then awesome, like incredible. But if we can't do that, like if we get distracted with whatever, and there's a bunch of little things that, like Hallow now has a ton of different types of content, a bunch of different ways to engage and a bunch of different things. But like if we lose sight of, and I think especially faith-based apps and often do this, but like you lose sight of the core thing you're trying to do, and then you start doing 1,000 things because they're all so good. So then it's like, well, it's not a commentary that something isn't good to do. Like, there's 1,000 things, but it's just that this is what we're doing. There is kind of this nice part of being a founder of it is like, it would be really hard for me to take over someone else's app and then be like, this all sucks. We should destroy it all and restart. Mm. And we've done that now like 5 times where it's like, this is all bad. This has gotten, and they're like, yeah, but didn't you say that? And I was like, yeah, I did 6 months ago. And that was stupid. And it's terrible. It's way too busy. It's way too complicated. Like delete it and go way simpler. Or like take all this stuff and remove it. And it's like, oh, but this thing is, it's like, yeah, but it's not the core of the thing. And ultimately the only way I've started doing this recently has been such a blessing. But like holy hours in the morning, I don't know, my spiritual director says you gotta do 3 things every day, daily mass, a rosary, and 20 minutes of silence. And I was talking to there's a nun, I'm forgetting her name, Mother Superior, who led a orphanage in Mexico, not an orphanage, a boarding school in Mexico that was incredible. But she has like 40 nuns with her. It's in Chalco.
I was literally going to say, it's in Chalco?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? I'm going to interview one of them next week.
I'm
forgetting which one it is. That's just crazy.
Sister Mary or Sister.
There's a lot of sisters out there. That's kind of crazy.
It's crazy. Anyway, we just went. My wife and I and some folks on the Hallow team. It was beautifully life changing, heartbreaking because these kids are coming from like, I mean, 60s. It was a girls. They have a girls and a boys. They have I think 2,000 girls in the school. 60-70% of them are coming from abuse, like real cartel abuse. And they have 40 nuns who run, so it's like 50 kids a nun or something. And the Mother Superior runs the whole thing. She has got like a $10, $20 million budget she has to fundraise for every year. And this giant campus and all these kids who are like in really hard, like way harder than anything I've ever done ever. And these nuns who also are in really tough, like you're stretching yourself, you're working yourself to the bone to try to care for these kids as mothers, which a lot of them don't have. And help them process through some sense of healing from the crazy stuff that they've encountered, the awful stuff that they've encountered. And I sat and I talked to her and I was like, so how do you deal with this? And like, how do you handle all this stuff? And she just goes, well, for our charism, she has this beautiful like Mexican Hispanic accent, but she's like, for our charism, we have to pray 3 hours a day. And when I became Mother Superior, my executive director said, now you are very busy. You have much more important things to do. Now you must pray 4 hours a day. So I pray 4 hours a day. And I was like, oh, and I can't, you know, like I complain about an hour, like but anyway, the holy hour, we have this beautiful 24/7 adoration in our chapel. But like, if you just bring things.
In the Hallow Chapel?
It's at the church where I live.
Okay, cool.
But the, I just bring things. I don't know. I had this priest who was like, just bring things before the Lord and just be like, hey, I'm bringing this to you. This is what I'm thinking of doing. Please tell me if I'm doing it wrong. And he usually does. And if he doesn't, just be like, yeah, just stop me. Like, please. And just have confidence. And just like, if you're bringing him before the Lord, like he does, it's just been this, it just takes this weight off it. It's like, oh, I'm just going to bring it to the Lord.
Wow.
But yeah, that for me is like, especially focus, because focus is probably the hardest thing. Is how do you maintain focus while still trying to reach out to more folks and do something, you know, exciting and fun and new, but maintaining like, hey, what are you doing?
Dude, I waste so much time when I don't spend enough time praying because I'm an unfocused person. So thanks for honestly bringing that up because it's a challenge to do. Keep leaning in, Chris. Stay focused. Keep praying a lot.
Isn't it funny?
What does your daily prayer routine consist of? And when you're on Hallow, what are you listening to most?
Ooh, Hallow. That's my routine. Well, we got some new stuff that I can't share yet, so I listened through the new stuff. It's actually kind of hard because Because for the stuff that I help with, which it's like, oh, I could have written that a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or like, oh, we could have.
So you're distracted praying on your own app.
So
probably, yeah.
So I like actually praying with the stuff that I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not as engaged with. But so I wake up, I try to do the holy hour. I've been trying to do the liturgy of the hours, which is really beautiful. We don't have it on the app, and on it, but the
awesome.
But so I do that, and then the. I usually do like we have the daily readings on the app, so I usually do those, just listen to them before I go to Mass. And then the Litany of Humility is really beautiful. I try to pray that a good bit. The Surrender Novena is really beautiful. Jeff Caven's Daily Reflections. And then the music, like there's this lo-fi on the app that's just this really cool. It's got like St. John Paul II audio. It's got Mother Teresa audio in it, but just like interspersed with this lo-fi. So like if I'm working or if I just need to
kind of...
And then... I usually do the challenge. We have these challenges, and so sometimes I'll do those at night. And then my wife is actually going through. We did this like family rule challenge where you build a family rule, or
awesome.
We just interview different parents and how they raise their kids. And so she's doing that, and then we'll talk about that at the end of the day. But yeah, we have this little routine thing on the app. So mine probably is in the morning is the daily readings. Sometimes I'll do a Lectio on it, and then in the middle of the day I try to do the Surrender Novena and the. Sometimes I'll do a Divine Mercy Chaplet, but the Surrender Novena and the Litany of Humility. And then at night, it's night prayer. But yeah, a lot of it too is just, I don't know, it's fun because it's, I like spending a lot of time in silence, which is not on Hallow. So I spend, I pray in adoration and a lot of that. Although Matt Moore's got this crazy awesome adoration album if you need music to pray. Nice.
Hit a holy hour every day?
I would like to.
Yeah.
I probably hit a holy 30 to 45 minutes
45
consistently,
yeah.
And I get an hour every once in a while. Yeah. Now, it's funny because my spiritual director told me those three things, 20 minutes of silence, rosary, daily mass, like 3-4 years ago, yeah. Maybe like 5 years ago. And it took me like, again, I'm not very good at most things, but I do stick with stuff, but it just takes me a long time, like habits, bad habits, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It just takes me forever. It's just like, oh man, can't I just get done with this? And like eating better or working out or whatever, getting consistent with anything. It's just like, but that took me, like I was doing the 20 minutes of silence every day and usually with the daily Lectio on Hallow or something. But I was able to do that every day. Daily Mass, I was like hitting like half the time, and then a rosary, I'd get like 30% of the time. But then just like slowly over time, I was just able to figure out different ways in my schedule or whatever to just make it like generally more consistent.
Yeah.
And then I've gotten to the point really over the last year where it's like, okay, I feel like I'm hitting those pretty much every day. And then I went to this retreat in Chalco or spent time in service and whatever. And I was like, oh, it can't just be 20 minutes. It's got to be an hour.
Mm.
And so now I'm like, I'm only maybe 4 months into this. But it's just like, okay, I can. So I don't know. A part of it is, yeah, I just want to get the hour. But then it's like, but I know I'm. I don't know, patience obtains all things. It's just like, I'm gonna have patience and understanding with myself. I'm gonna get there, but it's just like I'll start hitting it at like 20% and then I'll just try to push it up. But I'm not who I want to be, so
no, we'll work
at
on
some
it,
point.
Dude, I'll bug you occasionally. Text me. Say, Chris, are you keeping your hour?
Yes, please. That would actually be great.
Seriously, there's the accountability piece.
Yeah,
is,
it would be great.
It helps a lot.
Right,
and
cool.
I slip. It's like gravity constantly pulling down.
I know, it just gets
down to the stuff of the earth. We get busy. And I know the Lord's calling me to at least 40 minutes in the morning. And I love hitting a 50 to an hour. It doesn't even have to be in my chapel, you know, but like I'll just pray Liturgy of the Hours and my rosary and just sit there and
it's so good.
Soak
it's
in the
so
silence.
Much peace.
Right? And when I slip, and like this morning, it was like 20 minutes, you know, which is, it's not bad.
Yeah,
or if I'm hitting like, I'll take it off in 15 minutes and I gotta get at the door. Dude, I 5 days of that and I get spiritually so weak.
It's funny because it's like the habits that you build during the good times sustain you in the bad.
Yeah.
And for me, it's when I'm in the bad times, and I've been really blessed. I've had a very easy life relative to a lot. But things get hard and those things are just like, they're just such sources of joy when you actually have them, like when they're actually like, and it was the same with the rosary. Like I got to doing the rosary every day, but sometimes I'd be distracted or I'd be up and walking about or whatever. And I was just like, I just need to sit. and pray the rosary. And when you do it, just you feel this like peace, and it's like everything from the day is just like, and it's again, it's like whatever the feed of distraction or work, but then just Mary just gently like recollecting and just gently like, ah, oh, just come back to my son, just come back to my son. And if you actually sit and do that, it's just so much richer.
Amen.
But it is, the hard part is during the good times, like when you're in a state, like the consolation, when you feel like things are going all right, but you're just busy. Then it's like, okay, but try really to push that next thing so that you can get to that next little whatever it is. If it's an hour, if it's 20 minutes, if it's 5 minutes, if it's 2 minutes. Like for a while it was like, I just need to try to do something. Like 5 minutes was hard. But then it's just, and your whole life just kind of, like you actually don't have that much to do. And so much of it is prioritization.
Right.
It's like if you just did one right thing a day, and that's, you know, I look back on Hallow. It's like we do a lot. You answer a lot of emails. You do a lot of Slacks. You do a lot of meetings, whatever. But like, man, the coolest things have been, it took like 30 minutes or like 5 minutes. It's like an email or like you get something. You know, it's when it's, but just so staying in that, like how do you keep kind of pushing to, so anyway, yeah, we'll text each other each morning to make sure.
Yeah, or even if it just comes to your mind 6 months from now. Hey, Chris,
hey, Chris, are you slacking, bro?
Maybe the God's putting it in your mind, because accountability does help. And knowing that text might come in 6 months, I'll make sure.
I better get on it.
We need people to be accountable, too.
Hypocrisy helps, too.
The
fun part about this job, my favorite part about this job
is
hypocrisy, because it's an incredible motivating factor.
You don't want to be a hypocrite.
No, I don't want to be a hypocrite at all. So if I'm sitting here and be like, I pray every day, or if you ask me and I was just like, I just didn't actually, you know, pray every day, that'd be so sad, you know?
Let's up it a level. I'll post your response on Facebook.
Well, I was like, I gave a talk on the rosary, and they were like, could you give a talk on the rosary? And I was like, yeah. And I gave this, like, I like wrote this, like, pump-up thing that was like, you got to pray it every day, recollected, sit still, like, collect yourself, don't be distracted, like, let Mary. And I was like, man, I need to do that. Like,
yeah.
It's such a helpful, and you don't want to be a hypocrite.
Oh, so, yeah, post it. The Lord uses success to challenge people. Like, I think he cares about you more than an app. Apps will disappear, right? There will be a day when there is no Hallow, no Real Life Catholic, no YouTube even. Imagine that. But we'll be around forever.
Hmm.
And in some ways, success is more challenging than failure, which is a crazy thing to think about.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? Because when you're in startup mode on the verge of failure, it requires that you dig in your gut and muster those things you need just to hold on for dear life. That's a certain level of challenging yourself, right? How much fortitude do you have? But then when the Lord's saying, jump up and expand to the next level of success, then you start to encounter imposter syndrome. You start to encounter like every wound you ever have from a kid in junior high making fun of you, like everything that says you can't do that. And the Lord says, no, push through that now. No, don't just get to a basic level of fortitude. Like, let's push through that stuff. So I guess my question is, how is
God... Let's get that on the app.
What's that?
Let's get the last, like, 3 minutes on the app.
There it is, right? Yeah. How has the Lord used this and every next level he calls you to, where it's like, probably feels like an ice bath. Like, wait, what's going to happen? How has he used this to expand your own soul? Like, what's been purified out of you through this success?
I mean, there's so much. I couldn't. I mean, I have so long to go, but the person I was 7 years ago is like a very radically different person. Mm-hmm. And again, it's like, I don't know. I struggle to talk about this because it feels like I've like. It's kind of like Kevin James that we were talking about. He did a fast for like 41 days, straight water fast.
Whoa.
Yeah, 41 days for his daughter, and we talked about it. It's on the app. You should check it out.
Wow.
But I called him, and I was like, hey, man, like, can I talk to you about this fast thing? Because I don't, you know, you're not supposed to brag about that, obviously. And he was like, yeah, but I fasted for like 40 days, and I lost like 50, 75. 5 pounds, but then I just gained it all back. So now I'm just fat again. And I was like, that's impressive.
That's impressive.
Well, I was like, well, that's actually a beautiful story of like, but anyway, so I don't know, for me is everything. I mean, I struggled with so much lust that like my careerism was so central to who I was. Like money, wealth, material things. You just get addicted to so much of the world. But mostly, like, I was just so selfish. And, like, my whole life was just oriented around myself. And I thought that was not bad. Like, I wasn't working on it. I was just, hey, you're in my life to try to, whatever, like, friends is utility friend, like, because you make me whatever, because I want to be with you. Or, like, my wife, it's just, but now it's like, I don't know, and you start to see these little things where it's, oh, I'm actually supposed to pick up my cross. Like, I'm actually supposed to, how far I have to go is so crazy. I mean, the St. John of the Cross, like, endeavor always not to that which is easiest, but that which is harshest, like that which is most difficult is what you should desire actively. Mm. And like, maybe I accept it now. Like, I've gotten to a point where I don't like reject it. I can be like, okay, God, I trust that you're using this for my good. I don't enjoy it yet. Not even close to it.
Some saints just remind me that I'm not one.
I know. Well, they all do for me. Yeah, you honestly, read them and it's just, and this remarkable humility, like this humility that is nowhere close to where I am. Mm. Like, where you look at yourself and you're like, I am a worm. I am the greatest of all sinners, the chief among all sinners. And it's like, yeah, I can say that and I can pray that. Or even just the litany of humility, which I pray every day, like desire that someone else will be more successful than you in the eyes of the world, that someone else will be loved more than you. And it's like, oh, I can do that for my kids really easy. And honestly, it's the grace of fatherhood is like you get this glimpse into how you should feel for everybody. But it just, for me, it's just natural. It's just like, oh, of course I want a better life for you than me. Mm. Like, I want you to have a better life for everything. But I don't, like, do I really think that for whatever the guy down the street? Like, I don't know. Mm. And I don't know, so it's, I don't know, I've been cleansed of a lot. I've been cleansed of a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of lust, a lot of things. I've grown a good bit in discipline and have so much longer to go, so much further to go in discipline, a bit in humility, and I have so much further to go in humility. But I don't know, he's done these incredible things. It is interesting though, when I look back, it's the moments that are the worst. And the startup life has a lot. You know, you might sit and be like, oh, you have a great Lent, but, or some big spike, or you get to some high thing, or, but like Elon Musk describes I think he's stealing this quote from somebody, but he says like entrepreneurship is like staring into the abyss and chewing glass. It's like you're staring into the abyss. You're constantly looking at the failure of this thing. Like, and no one else, you know, that's a very odd emotional thing because, you know, you work at a normal company. You're not usually thinking about what happens if General Electric goes under.
Right.
You're like, which it can, all companies will, to your point. But you are, as a founder, you're constantly like, oh, this thing isn't going to exist. And the last decision is on you for the bigger, more important thing. So it's like, are you doing the right thing? And then you eventually get to this point where the weight is just an overwhelming weight. Like, you have families that are dependent on it. We have so many folks on the app who are finding a relationship with the Lord. So it can be this like overwhelming weight. And there are a bunch, like you get 100, we talked about this earlier, you get 100 people on a team, they don't all like me. I mean, maybe I have a high-ish success rate, but it's not 100%, and it's not, you know, you might not like me, so that's fine. Like, you can work at Hallow and not like me. That's totally fine, as long as you're helping people grow closer to the Lord.
You can't work at Real Life Catholic and not like you. Hear that sound booth? Too small.
But
when we get 100 people, you can't. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But, so like, you know, you run into things where it's difficult or it's hard or something goes really wrong. You try to do something and it just fails miserably. And it's something you really, like, would have been really great for the company or whatever. And, but those times are always, I mean, like the earliest one for us was we ran out of money. We started working on it. We had maybe 2,000 downloads and we ran out of money. And like my 401k was not that big. And my, like our credit cards and co-founders' credit cards and whatever. But we ran out, and so we had to go fundraise. And, like, I met with probably 80 people over the course of 2 weeks, 12 meetings a day, just crazy. Mm. And it's, unfortunately, it's usually just a one-on-one meeting, so you're just talking to them one-on-one. And they're like, asking you your pitch, and you've already heard my pitch. The beginning, my story is my pitch. It's just like, hey, this is my relationship with the Lord, the most central, sensitive thing to who I am. Mm. And they're the best investors or best donors or best whatever in the world. And they're just constantly critiquing, like, everything, like, questioning, and you just get no after no after no after no after no after no after no.
But don't take it personally.
And I remember, and the no's come really fast, and if you're lucky enough to get a yes,
yeah,
it takes like 2-3 weeks at least, even if you're moving super fast. And so you're just sitting there, 80 people, it's just like, I get 20 no's, I get 40 no's, I get 60 no's, I get 70 no's. And they're just like, no, this isn't a good idea. It's never going to work. Nobody prays. Nobody, even if they did pray, they would never use an app for prayer. Wow. Also, who are you? You've never done this before. You have no, like, you've never done a startup before. You have no idea what you're talking about. You've come from, like, you did, you barely know how to code. And, you know, maybe you're not sitting, you know, you're like constantly self-analyzing yourself. Am I sitting up straight enough? Am I answering questions, wow, like, well enough? Do I have eye contact? Is it, was it the question? Was it this answer, yeah, to this thing? Was it blah, blah, blah? And it was just this weight, and it was just this, like, overwhelming weight. And I had like knots in my back. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. And I just went and I prayed. I was like 75, 76 no's. And I just prayed in the middle of the night. And I was just like, God, you chose the wrong guy. You made a mistake. I'm not the guy. I don't know what you were thinking. Mm. I can't do this. It's too much weight. It's too heavy. It's too much. The only thing I know how to do is make a deal with you. Here's the deal. If it works, you're going to get the credit. I'm never going to take the credit. You're always going to get the credit. I'm not going to trick myself into thinking I'm some sort of successful entrepreneur or some sort of successful evangelist or whatever the heck it is. I'm never going to trick myself into thinking that. You're always going to get the credit, I promise.
Hmm.
At the same time, if the thing doesn't work out, that's on you. It's not on me. And that's fine. Like, you want it to teach me a lesson in humility. You want it to inspire somebody to go do something that actually matters or whatever. That's fine. It's your thing. That you do whatever you want with it. I'm going to work hard, always. I'm going to show up. I'm going to work hard. But it's on you. It's not on me. And, like, immediately this weight lifted.
Wow.
I went the next morning to the guy. There's only four of them left. And he was our favorite one the whole time. We were just hanging on to that one hope that he would be a part of it. And it was the gospel of Peter trying to fish. There's no fish in the sea. Jesus says, let down your nets.
That was the gospel of the day?
That was the gospel. So I'm reading it on my way to the meeting. And it's like, there's no fish in here. What are you talking about? I've been fishing all night. I'm like, there's 76 no's. What are you talking about? I'm supposed to keep, there's obviously nobody's going to do this. It's obviously the wrong idea. And Jesus says, let down your nets. And he catches more fish than that can carry.
Wow.
And 2 minutes later, that guy gives us an offer to fund the whole thing. And then we get the other three give us offers to fund the whole thing, which was more than we could carry. Which is just like, it's just glory to God. But it's the funny thing, because your question of like, is it, I don't know, in the good times, it's funny because Satan uses, God uses the bad times to bring you so much closer to him if you open yourself to it. And Satan uses the good times so effectively to like turn you away from God. And so if anything, and I don't think I necessarily yet enjoy them, but I at least now, every time there's a really tough time or like you're mourning or there's something really sad, it's just like God is so there. Like I'm so much closer to him than I was any other time. And so you're just like, I don't know, you almost do just maybe barely a little bit start to be like, oh, I love that. Like I love being so close to him. And in the success, it's just, you just have to be like, do not get distracted from the thing. Like, dude, this is going to end, whatever, I'm in a good thing now. And it's like, everybody likes me and everybody says good about me. Actually, Jesus has some woes for you, but it's not going to last forever. And like, remember, and to the holy hour point, like the only real good thing I can do during that time is just try to build up the things that'll get me through the bad times. But the bad times then are like, oh man, my heart is, you feel it. Like your heart just becomes so much softer. It becomes like, you get this, like, it was bony, like, it was hard.
Mm.
And it just becomes, like, it just breaks a little bit and just, God gets just a little bit more in there.
Praise God.
He is good.
Amen. Dude, I'm so grateful for this time with you,
man. This is so fun.
No, thank you. Seriously.
This is a blessing, brother.
There's so much to glean from this.
Yeah.
I'll probably listen to this 3 times, to be honest with you.
Yeah, glory to the Lord.
Yeah. I think the only way it makes sense to end this one is with a moment of prayer.
Please.
And your favorite form of prayer is silence.
I do. Could we do silence?
Yeah, we honestly. Like honestly, don't go away. God is here. You don't have to say anything. Just like kind of open your mind to the fact that he's right here with you, like sitting right before you. So there's my challenge right now. I'm going to time it because I know this is crazy for our racing brains. We're going to do 45 seconds right now. All right?
I like it.
Don't tune out. I take a deep breath and be with the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we love you so much. Your love is the one constant in this ever-changing world. Thank you for calling us all to yourself. Help us to hear you. Help us to lead a hurting world into an encounter with you. And keep blessing Alex and Hallow and everybody who's watching. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So I don't know why that moved me so much, man.
That's so good, isn't it?
Right? I just like, the Lord's here, man. And he loves you so much. Thank you so much for watching. I love you guys. We'll see you next time. Thanks, man. Love you, brother. Yeah.